children's sermons are not for the faint of heart. Music scores most often have markings written in to help set the mood and the tenor of a piece. Vivace, fortissimo, diminuendo. Sometimes one might even find such notations as ominous or jubilant. Sadly, the original biblical texts offer us no such insights. Even the stories themselves very rarely reveal much about the tone of a story or the speaker's emotions. For example, nowhere do we find, oh my goodness, Jesus lambasted the crowds in a rage, his face flushed, veins bulging on his forehead, fists clenched. Or Jesus calmly turned toward the crowds and spoke firmly, with love and compassion in his voice. This type of information could be very helpful, especially today. Jesus' words in Luke's gospel are not easy to hear. I would love to know whether Jesus shouted these words with his fist raised or whether he spoke these caveats with compassion in his voice and his arms open wide. Then we might know how to approach this difficult text. Did Jesus say, commitment comes with a cost, or commitment comes at a cost? Here are some educated assumptions that we can make about this text. Jesus spoke to the crowd using hyperbole. He intentionally used exaggerated language to shock and startle his listeners. Hyperbole is not intended to be taken literally. The crowd following Jesus hoped that he was the Messiah for whom they had been waiting for centuries. They expected Jesus to be the Messiah they wanted, a Messiah who would reinforce their belief system and support their religious practices. Jesus needed his words to shake the crowd to their senses. Following Jesus, the Messiah, would entail breaking with much that had previously given their lives meaning. Their lives would have to be completely reordered. They would have to change how they related to God and how they related to the people around them. Commitment comes at a cost. As if telling the crowd to hate family and friends was not enough, Jesus tells the crowd that they must be willing to give up their lives. Jesus says, "Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." We often hear people use the expression, "This is my cross to bear," when they speak of some burden or trouble in their life. Jesus' words here imply something more. In the ancient world, to carry one's cross meant that one was carrying the instrument that would be used to kill them. Carrying one's cross was considered shameful and despicable. Following Jesus was, and still is, very countercultural, often bringing not honor, but dishonor in the eyes of the popular culture to those who risk the journey. Are we willing to risk our lives figuratively and perhaps literally to follow Jesus? Commitment comes at a cost. According to Jesus, following him is not a decision to be made hastily or to be taken lightly. He uses two illustrations, one from the building trades and one from military strategy, to explain the need to carefully calculate one's ability to persist and persevere in being Jesus' disciple. When making a decision that will change our entire lives and alter the way we interact with everyone and really everything around us, one had better count the cost before they commit. The NFL season kicked off on Thursday with the meeting of two old rivals, the Bears, and the Packers. Last Tuesday, a friend I follow on Instagram, who calls himself a sports fanatic and justice junkie, posted that he would be watching to see how the Take a Knee movement plays out this year. In 2016, Colin Kaepernick ignited a firestorm. Kaepernick was a quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. Kaepernick intentionally refused to stand for the playing of the national anthem during the 49ers preseason games. During the regular season, Kaepernick was joined by teammate Eric Reed, and they moved to taking a knee in hopes that their actions would not be seen as disrespectful. From the beginning, Kaepernick was clear that his actions were a statement of conscience directed specifically toward racial injustice. The Take a Knee movement spread across the NFL to the college and high school football programs, professional and amateur athletes from soccer to baseball to fencing have taken a knee in protest of racial injustice in the United States. The most common theme in vitriol against Kaepernick and other athletes taking a knee is the notion that they are disrespecting our flag, our country, and our troops. Jim Wright is a retired U.S. Navy chief warrant officer and a freelance writer. In the weeks after Kaepernick began taking a knee, he found his inbox and his Twitter feed flooded with this question. As a veteran, what do you think about Colin Kaepernick's decision to sit during the national anthem? Wright responded, "The very first thing I learned in the military is this. Respect is a two-way street. If you want respect, true respect, sincere respect, then you have to give it. We all have the right to believe that our country can be better, that it can live up to its sacred ideals, and the right to loudly note that it has not. The right to use our voice, our actions, to bring attention to those things we believe in. The right to want more for others, freedom, liberty, justice, equality, and respect. A true veteran might not agree with Colin Kaepernick, but a true veteran would fight to the death to protect his right to say what he believes. You don't like what Colin Kaepernick has to say? Then prove him wrong. Be a nation he can respect. Can one love and support one's country while simultaneously expressing anger toward and protesting its injustices? Should public figures be held to a different standard? What is the cost of committing to be a nation that offers liberty and justice for all? Paul wrote a letter to Philemon to remind his friend that when Philemon became a follower of Christ, his life was transformed, totally reordered. In this letter concerning Philemon's slave, Onesimus, Paul never directly tells Philemon he must set Onesimus free. Paul does clearly suggest, however, that being a Christian changes the way we relate to everyone and everything. Traditional norms, including slavery for Philemon, and racism, homophobism, sexism, Islamism, social classism, all the isms of our day, must be left behind to follow Christ. What does our nation need to leave behind in order to earn the respect to which we aspire? How does Jesus speak to us today as a nation still shackled to our history of systematic racism? Is Jesus' fist raised or his arms open wide? What do you hear? Whether it is following Jesus, being a student, parenting, acquiring a new skill, reforming a police department, or assuring the citizens of your nation freedom and equality. If you want to do anything well and with integrity, let alone with any degree of excellence, commitment that comes at a cost is required. I like the Bible just the way it is. No notations, no mood setting. Because every time I approach the Bible, I see something different or I hear a passage in a new way. Some days I need Jesus to shake his fist and raise his voice with me. I need his words to knock me back and call me to my senses. Other times, I need to be embraced by Jesus' words and encouraged. I need him to call me to commitment firmly, yet with compassion. Either way, we all need to hear Jesus say, commitment comes at a cost.